I had a little feller walk up to me back there and walked up to me kind of with a masochistical smile on his face and asked me if I was going to skin him. I didn't know if he wanted me to take this case out and start right then or what, but I told him where I come from. You can only skin something one time, then it's dead. I ain't here to skin you. I'm here to preach at you. And I hope that you leave better than what you came. Let's take a Bible, very familiar passage, Luke 15. And we'll just read for time's sake one verse, verse 11. Luke 15 and 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Brother Eubanks, you lead us in a word of prayer.
Father, thank you for being in the house of God today. Lord, we got a preacher, we got a pulpit. The Lord, without the power of the Holy Ghost in filling this preacher to preach, will forget it. It won't be no good, Lord. We pray the Holy Spirit of God will fill the man of God now. Yes. We pray that we do something with the message that comes from you today through this man. Bless him and bless us, please, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. Now, you probably already know this passage. And it's one of the greatest parables that we know. And you got to remember that a parable ain't nothing more than common sense of God telling an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But God's got to speak to us so we can understand it. He couldn't say, a daddy, a rebellious boy, a Bible believer, I mean elder brother, and a servant was all involved in this thing. God breaks this thing down so you and I can understand it. Thank God He does. He doesn't speak to hide Himself. He speaks to reveal Himself. Now, he said he spoke to the similitudes of the prophets. So I say, out with this metaphorical preaching about birds and dogs and bats and cows and sheep. I get tired of it. Eagle man and all this stuff. The Bible said, preach the Word. I don't want to hear the animal kingdom. If I want to see that, I watch the alligator man on TV. Bunch of tomfoolery is what it is. Some of you got hair lift already. Hang on. Now pull your fangs before we're through. Now, there's so much preaching here. I got a message on the father, son, elder, brother, servant. So much preaching we could preach till midnight, but you'd fall out the window and you'd have cussed too. And the reason you fell, that guy fell out the window, he had more hanging out than he had in. It's like some of you. But I'd like to preach you a message on the first application of Scripture. According to Luke 15, the doctrines of the Bible found in Luke 15. Doctrines, the first application. Everybody said, nah, I'm feared, I disagree. They say good doctrine don't make good preaching. That's not right. We're not talking about a delivery. We're not talking about exegesis. We're talking about the Word of God. Then they say good doctrine don't make good preaching. And then they run that thing around and they say that good preaching don't make good doctrine. If it's not right doctrine, it can't be no good. If that's right, you're just thinking about a delivery. Instead of what God's got to say. Don't get sidetracked. Stay according to the Bible. We can get a New Testament application spiritually out of anything and preach it. Like I had me a dream. And I woke up in heaven and St. Peter was there. And I said, hey, Pete. He said, hi. And he had all these clocks and had names on them. And I said, what's with all the clocks? And he said, oh, these clocks are are showing that men have not moved from their stand on the truth. And as long as the hands don't go around, he said, those men haven't moved from the truth. So I went by and seen Peter Ruckman's. It didn't move. I went by and seen Peacock's. It just straight up hadn't moved. Went by and seen Sam Delaney's. It hadn't moved. I went by and seen Jack Husted's. It hadn't moved. Went by and seen Shoshay's. It moved a little bit. Gotta forgive him, he's Cajun. And I kept going down and down and seeing all these clocks that hadn't moved. And I said, finally I got to the end of them and I said, is this all there is? And Peter said, oh no. He said, there's a bunch more in the Lord's office. And I said, well, what are they doing in the Lord's office? He said, he's using them as ceiling fans. I'm here to tell you tonight, a lot of people have moved from the truth. They've quit preaching doctrinal messages. And their people are suffering from it. Now, I'm not talking about taking a verse and taking a fit either. That's what they call preaching in North Carolina. Some men have put some two-bit names on doctrines that we don't care about. But you'll notice here in Luke 15, there's some great teaching here. Now, when it comes to what God says about a certain subject, he makes it clear, understandable, so common folk like you and I can understand it. And you hear me? If it doesn't make common down-home sense, it ain't the Bible.
Book. So if God wants to show you something about life, he'll show you it through a life of a man or a woman or a young man in the Bible.
I've read Hodges' Systematic Theology, his little Sufra and Infralapsarianism and all that foolishness. Never made me want to pray more. Never made me want to win souls more. And never made me want to live closer. It just made me get a new hat. But when we're talking about doctrines, let's look. See what learning we can get. In verses 12 and 13, we see the doctrine of man. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fell unto me, and he divided unto them his living. The prodigal son is the study of man. You know what man is? He's a rebel. And I ain't talking about living below the Mason-Dixon either. You're in rebellion to God. In your very nature is rebellion. Built up to say, I have no man rule over me. I have no book rule over me. I'm my own king. That's what man is. Wants nobody telling him what to do. Man at his best estate is altogether vanity, the Bible says. That's why I don't get sidetracked on social issues. The Bible never told me to preach on social issues. The reason you preach on them is because you're afraid to let the Word of God go to reach the hearts of the children of men. Anybody can preach on abortion or the new candidate or anything like that or all that stuff, but I'm here to want to tell you what we need to preach is the Word of God. Amen. And the whole counsel thereof. Until man submits himself to the authority of God, he's a rebel. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll learn one of three ways. You won't learn from your parents. You'll learn from the work world. You know why youngins today can't keep a job? They were rebellious to their parents. If you won't learn from your work world failures, you'll learn from the police. But you got to come under. I remember in 1967, I was 18. I told my daddy he wasn't telling me what to do no more. He said, get out. I did. I went and joined the Marine Corps. Because I didn't want anybody telling me what to do. Boy, did I make me a big'un. I remember that little fellow was from Sumter, South Carolina. He was an Irishman, God forgive him. Name was Flanagan. He had ears that looked like a Volkswagen with both doors open, and he talked just like this. And when I first laid eyes on him and he laid eyes on me, he said, "Boy, sir, yes, sir," he said, "I hate redheads. Mama, mama, where are you at, mama?" He is so mean. He said, "Lance, we're going to send you to Vietnam." And they did. "Well," he said, "we're going to send you to Vietnam." I said, "Sir, yes, sir." He said, "You know why, sir?" "No, sir. We need bullet stops, boy." I kind of got chumming up with a little old black boy. We call him Negros where I come from. And his name was Freeman Spears. He talked just like that. He's from New Orleans, kin to Soche. He was just a little darker. Soche's a little high yellow. We stood next to each other in rain. Man, I remember it was August day down there in P.I. Man, it was so hot they had just changed over from summer to winter uniform. Now we're in wools. We're standing out there in South Carolina. It's so hot. We were standing for about an hour. Attention, all of a sudden I hear, I thought, "Oh, God. Achoo!" I thought, "Not here." And man, it takes about eternity for Flanagan to come around. And you can hear those jump boots are coming around all the way over. And he says to Spears, "Spears? Sir, yes, sir. What did you do, boy?" "Sir, the private broke rank, sir." "Did you know it ain't right to break rank?" "Sir, yes, sir, but the private couldn't help it, sir." And I'm a standing there putting my eye teeth in my tongue thinking, "Don't look at me, Flanagan." He said, "Spears?" "Sir, yes, sir." "What's that on your face, boy?" "Sir, the private don't know, sir." He said, "It's not issue. Wipe it off." He reached up there and took that big Luger and pulled it off. He said, "Sir, it's a booger, sir." Say, did you laugh? Under God, I didn't laugh. Because, listen, if I got to eat a booger, I'm going to eat my booger. I ain't eating no soul brother's booger. And I knew what Flanagan was going to make me. You're going to make me eat that booger. He said, "Spears?" "Sir. Yes, sir." "Eat it." Now, some of you Navy boys, you Air Force sissies, Coast Guard panty waist, Army boys still wearing jump wings from 30 years ago, you might have got away with it, but you don't in the Corps. They what they do, just like you're going to do if you go down to the oyster bar. He took her up and took her down. Say, what did he do? He submitted to authority. Say, I ain't eating no booger. I will if God tells me to. Man, what is it? He's a rebel. And we see the doctrine of sin. Verse 12. What is it? Say, it's missing the mark. Oh, come on, that's not right. Coming short, don't fool me. Sin is selfishness. That boy said, "Give me." That's sin. It's the mother of all that's evil. It's the embryo of hell itself. Sin's worse than hell because sin created hell. We don't hear much preaching on it no more. It's needed. Sin. Satisfying the flesh will cause you to waste your life with riotous living. There's no love in sin. sin is give me. Love is what can I do for you. The prodigal son's illustration of sin. Hey, you want to get rich? I know some of you do. Sell sin. Want to get rich? Sell liquor. Sell drugs. Sell pornography. Sell ungodly music. You'll get rich. But there's only so much money you need to live with, and the rest is for showing off. The love of it will take it down to the depravity of sin. Sin's like a serpent. We've been having a little bit of trouble with copperheads around the church. And between services, Sunday school and Sunday morning, I was in my office. And little Jonathan Cogan and Levi Kales came in and said, "Preacher!" I said, "What, Levi? There's a snake out yonder." I said, "Who's out there?" He said, "All the kids is out there messing with it." I walked out there. There was a copperhead about that long. All those kids are messing with it, hitting it. I said, "Get out of here." I went over there, and I thought I was the alligator man. I like that stuff, man. I ain't never met a Baptist that scared me, nor a snake. Snakes don't scare me. So I went like that, and all those little boys are standing around there watching. "Go and get him, preacher." I said, "I'm going to get him, watch." I said, "You watch this preacher. He's smart. He knows how to get him a snake." I stepped on that snake's head. Reached down there, grabbed him by the tail, and picked him up and started chasing all those kids. You know, whoa, they're running around. That snake didn't take too kindly to it. But he popped back that head and hit me right about here. And it felt like lightning. I said, "What'd you do?" "I preached. Thought I was coming down with cholera." About 2 days later, that thing is about this big. I called up the old boy that runs hound dogs. I said, "What do you do when a dog gets hit by a snake?" He said, "One of your dogs get hit by a snake." I said, "No, I did." He said, "You darn fool, you go to the doctor is what you do." I said, "What do you do for a dog?" He said, "Give him some carnation milk and drink that for a few days. If it's going to get rid of the poison, it will. If it's not, it'll kill you." I said, "What did you do?" "I drank the milk." Guess what? Didn't kill me. I know some of you was praying for me, praying that the Lord would kill me, but it did. You mark her down. Sin is selfishness. It doesn't care who it hurts. It doesn't care what it costs. It doesn't care about the outcome. I'm here to tell you, it's sin, and it's going to ruin your life. Then we see verse 12, doctrine of God. Someone said, "Is there a God?" Oh, of course there's. Anybody with common sense knows that. You know how I know there's a God? Prodigal son. You want to do wrong? God lets you do wrong. You want to do right? He'll let you come back. That's all you got to know about God. Say, "What about the congruity of the temple of the Spirit?" Shut up, you fool. You can't even spell it. What do you want to know what it's about? Is he ontological? Omnipresent? Omnipotent? You don't know the difference between post-mortem and post-millennialism. You're worried about is he omni? Crazy. There's a God. You want to go your own way? Go ahead and you'll make a mess of your life. You'll waste away your life on the grindstone of sin and mess up and be sorry. But thank God if you want to come back, no matter what you did, where you've been, how many times you've been married, no matter how many times you messed up, He'll meet you there with open arms. He's God. That's who He is. Don't you let the brethren tell you God can't use you because you messed up in the past. Hey, the past is underneath the blood of Jesus. We're talking about today. Oh, darn spiritual dwarfs around me, theological midgets, get on the radio and say, "If you've been married before," and I ain't. Been married 29 years, same gal. Say, "If you've ever been married before, God can't use you." Can't sing in the choir. Can't teach Sunday school. But keep those tithes and offerings a coming. So we see the doctrine of God. I'm glad I know him. Does God exist? He exists. If you don't have him as your Savior, you're going to find out one day on the wrong end that he does. He'll unleash his omnipotence of wrath on your dreadful soul. Well, hurry in. Verse 17. We see the doctrine of repentance. There's some Bible freaks around me. Bristol, Tennessee. Hey, wait a minute, you're making me mad. Hang on, baby. It's about to that molar. That abscess you got. They that love thy law, nothing shall be offended. A man that preaches, you don't have to repent after you get saved, is an idiot. He is promoting wicked living and control over those that he commands. You don't have to repent after you get saved. Well, let's think about it. God will fellowship with you if you got sin in your nature. But he won't fellowship with you if you got sin in your heart. The problem is that mountain wit doesn't know the difference between standing and state. If you don't repent of your sin, you can forget praying. Amen. You can forget making it down the road. Well, some great works are done. Yeah. You heard the preacher about your works. Repentance is saying, I'm wrong. You're right. It's my fault I'm in the hog pen. It's my fault I left your home. I'm a little pig. I'm a little pig, God, and I'm in the pig pit, and it's because of me. And I'm tired of it, and I'm tired of living this way. And I know I ain't worthy, but I want to come back home, Lord. God, I want to come back home. That's repentance. Ain't that chewing me gum, popping your chewing me gum, walking down the aisle, smiling, coming to the altar and saying, I'm wrong. You're right. You're holy and I'm unholy. Amen. I don't deserve to be here. But thank God I am. Amen. You'll notice the doctrine of salvation, verse 18. I'm glad they sang the song, God still saves old sinners. I'm glad he does. I had a boy. Sometimes you got to step out of, you don't ever leave your doctor, but every once in a while you got to step out and then step back in. Like John chapter 4, the woman at the well. The Lord stepped out of a dispensation and stepped back in. I got a boy named Deuteronomy Gregg. He got saved. He looks like a boiled egg with toothpicks. He's got a belly that big. My wife went shopping. You know, that's the woman's heaven. And I was there talking to my dog. Said, what was you talking about? Oh, some theological things I had on my mind. He's a good listener. He just shakes his head. I heard this door knocking. It was Deuteronomy. I said, hey, bro, how you doing? Oh, preacher. Come on in, sit down, Deuteronomy. Sit down. He said, you know I got saved. I said, I know it. What a blessing it is. Yeah, man, it's a blessing. I quit my liquor, I quit my drinking, I quit my drugs. Preacher, I'm saved. Glad you are, Billy. It was your name, Billy, but we call him Deuteronomy. He said, you know, preacher, started shaking. He said, I got to do something. God told me to do it today. I said, what you got to do today? He said, I got to get me baptized. Now, I'm dealing with mountain folk. Some of you landlubbers don't know what I'm talking about. When they want to do something, you do it and then fix them up later and redo it. I told him it's public. I know, preacher, but I got to do it today. God wants me to do it today, please. I said,
said, Deuteronomy, it'd take me 3 hours to fill up the baptism on a day to heat it. I ain't getting in that cold water. He said, how about the creek down there? I said, the creek's only that big. He said, take me up to Wilson's Creek. I ain't going to Wilson's Creek. Wilson's Creek's about 30 degrees coming out of Mount Mitchell in the summer, and it's about 10 degrees in the winter. I ain't a dumping him in December in Wilson's Creek. And he began to cry, oh, God, please. Oh, give the preacher a place to baptize me. I began to pray. I said, my deacon's got a swimming pool. Let's go. So we get in his car, go over there. He's got this pool, and he's got this great big deck around the pool, about that high. And there was a cover on the pool. I said, all right, Deuteronomy, you get ready. And I started undoing the cover on the pool, and I look over there, and there he is, stark naked. God, you talk about a frightful-looking sight. He got a belly about this big. You couldn't see nothing below. Everything was hanging on. I looked at him. He had a big smile on his face going, glory to God, hallelujah! I said, get in that pool. This ain't good doctrine, brother. No, but it's good preaching. I got him in there. I started looking around. Neighbors everywhere. Here I got a boiled egg with two toothpicks and eyes and a mustache, shouting and praising God naked as he came in. And I dunk him and pull him back out. He gets to shout and gets out of the pool and starts running around like a bad man. I thought the sheriff came. I just read him Mark chapter 5 and tell him he's the maniac of Valdez. Give him a little time, he'll be sitting at Jesus' feet. You know what I like about this repentance? He says there, he said, I want to come back because your servants have bread and have enough. But when he came back, God, his daddy didn't give him no bread. He gave him a steak. And that shows me when you come back and you're really concerned about your works and your life for God, you come back, he'll give you more than what you're worth. I got bread enough. I got bread enough to eat. And for 29 years now, I've had bread enough. Bread enough to get by. That fella talking about 12 million. Hey, brother, remember me if you get a little bit there. When I first got saved, I didn't know anything. 25-year-old, I didn't know anything. I didn't know nothing about a ring. I didn't know nothing about a robe. I didn't know nothing about a fatted calf. I didn't know nothing about the music. I didn't know nothing about the dancing and the party. All I knew is I was on my way to hell. But I'm telling you, I've tasted of the fatted calf, and he's put the shoes on my feet, and he's covered me up with his robe, and I'm his son. And he can hang the moon, and he can take a daisy and paint a rainbow across the sky on a summer's morn and crush the minds of science with an atom that's my father. I didn't know about it before I got saved. I do not. Well, then we see the doctrine last of all, true service. You know what? God don't have no hired servants. They work for free. You preachers that's complaining about the church ain't taking care of you, you're called to minister unto. Problem is you got that cat backwards. You want to minister to you first. You got to minister to them first. Teach them first. And then they'll take care of you. You notice Adam, I like him. Adam, God made Adam and he, first of all, he gave him his word. Adam liked that word. He loved talking with God every day. And then God gave him a job. He didn't give him his job until he took hold of the word. God ain't ever going to give you nothing to do until you take hold of the word. Then after he did his job right, named all the animals and all the things of the garden, then he gave him a wife. Yeah. You got to love that book first.
then serve God next to get the right woman. Good preacher from the Baptist. You know why this place has paid off? You know why our church has paid off? Brother Sammy told me they're building a new church debt free. Some of y'all's got church paid off. You know why? Missionary giving. Just giving back out what God gives you. It's taking care of somebody else, serving God, putting the gospel out. This Miss Root, or Shelly Root, came up here, Brother Mulder's wife. I taught her in Sunday school. Here, get up here and sing those songs about the Lord. It's worth every dollar, every penny, every cent that you spend. Investing into somebody else beside yourself. True service. Service is from the heart. And it demands nothing but obedience to God. I realize that if service to God is not love, as the preacher preached on a little bit ago, then if it's not love, then it has to go just your way. But if it's out of love, it'll go God's way, whether that's your way or not. Someone said, well, I ain't appreciated. Who said you're supposed to be? Well, I ain't getting promoted. Who said you're supposed to be? Prove yourself. See what God can do with you. Now, a lot of people boast and strut and sham around. I want to tell you what they're doing today because for what they did yesterday, because they ain't doing nothing today. I had a fellow walk up to me last night and say, I'm an evangelist. Oh, that's grand. He said, yeah, God called me into tent ministry. I said, well, that's good. He said, you know what I need? I said, yeah, I need a tent. Do I look like Paul? I'm not a tent maker. You know what he was doing? Trying to tell me God's going to do something. Let me see it. I'm a man. Don't tell me. You let me see it. I was reading a book a little while ago on A.B. Abington. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a great preacher years gone by. He told the story of D.L. Moody when he had the big meeting in Chicago. How that they had put up a big tabernacle and opened up the tabernacle. And as they was opening up the tabernacle, they had all the big shots in Chicago come down and had the big opening meeting. They were all going to give money, pay off the meeting for Brother Moody. Carriages was all pulling up. Rich folk all coming in, just having a big time. They set up on the sign, come hear the greatest preacher upon earth, D.L. Moody. This little street urchin boy came up, dirty. He came up and he wanted to go in, and the ushers said, hey, what are you doing, boy? He said, I want to see the greatest preacher on earth. They said, you're too dirty. You just want to get out of here. All these good folk here, they're trying to get that little boy off the side because all the good folk are coming in, you know. D.L. Moody came back there and was standing there shaking hands, and those ushers kept pushing that little boy across, pushing him back. And finally, D.L. Moody said, I want to know what's going on with this young man here. He saw a preacher, that little bum. He's trying to come in here and wreck the meat. He said, well, what does he want to do? He said, oh, he wants to come here to preach. D.L. Moody walked over to that boy and said, hey, boy, what are you doing? He said, I want to see me, greatest preacher on earth. He said, you know him? D.L. Moody said, I know him real good. He's a friend. Matter of fact, I like him more than I like anybody else. He said, I'll tell you what, boy. He said, ushers, you back off. They used to wear those old coats with tails. And he told that young boy, he said, you grab these tails, boy. And he said, you don't let go. He said, I'll get you in. Get you the best seat to see the greatest preacher upon earth. And the boy grabbed those tails and he walked all the way up the front. Boy, everybody, with all the rich folk laughing and joking, all the high society laughing and joking. Little bum. D.L. Moody took him up on the pulpit and put him up on the pulpit. And he sat there and they began to sing. And as they began to sing, D.L. Moody sat next to him and the little boy said to him, sir, he said, could you show me who D.L. Moody is? He said, it's me, boy. He preached the gospel that night. And the first one that came forward, that little boy got saved. And A.B. Abington was telling the story at D.L. Moody's funeral. He said, the reason that I know that that's true is because I was that little boy. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you'll get your doctrine right and you get your heart right, God can use anybody. When he went up to see that burning bush and Moses didn't say, is it a shittim wood? Is it cedar wood? Is it oak? Is it a thorn bush? God said, no, it's any old bush will do. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you'll give your heart to God, you young fellers, you'll give your heart to God, get the doctrine that you need to get here, get the practical application out there. If Jesus tarries, there's just no telling what will happen in this world. Let's bow our heads before we pray. We find some doctrines in Luke 15.
Father, we pray my blessed message tonight, where the Word of God bear fruit as it's been preached. We pray the decision might be made right now that will last not just a few days or years, but go out in eternity. And it's affecting people's lives. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. I know it's pretty late, but we're going to take a little time here. I'm going to sing number 6 in the paperback. He washed my eyes with tears. Of 6, those of you know it, sing it. The invitation's open here. And if you feel God has been dealing with your heart about some of these things these fellows spoken about, you've had 3-4 good messages now, and God's had time to do a work in your heart, and you need to get some things right or make a decision. Cross Burnett Bridge this morning behind you. Don't go back and cross it again. All right, let's sing number 6 in the paperback. He washed my eyes with tears. I might see that may be the case some of you here this morning. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. Sing it out. Sing it out. Isn't there one of us here that God hadn't had to whip sometime? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. Folks, the best way to take a whipping is the way you're taking it right now. Some aren't coming forward because it hurts a little bit too bad to come forward and do something publicly. There's tougher ways God can deal with you. The easiest whipping you ever got in your life as a Christian is to expose yourself to good, hard, straight preaching aimed right at your guts that disrebukes you and chastens you and reproves you. That's an easy way to take a whipping. I've been around here 82 years, and when I think about the way God has had to deal with some Christians, I tremble. It scares me to death. I'll kid you not. And if I can find any way to take a beating easier than they took, I'm going to take it. I'm yellow, man. I'm cowardly. And the easiest whipping you ever got is just expose yourself what you're getting right now. And let it work on you. All right, let's sing the last stanza here, and then we'll close. Anybody else want to come? Come on. He washed. May us want to come to the altar. You and the Lord, just fix it up. Just you and Him. Just you and Him. Just fix it up. Right here. People here this morning have had to go through some experience that brought you to a weeping Gethsemane before God did it, and after He did it, you're better for it. Let me see your hands. A common experience, Christian, good experience. All right, it's pretty late, but you didn't miss anything, and if you'd gone earlier, you'd have missed something. And we'll see tonight. Brother Donovan, if you would, yeah, you got something? All right, please do not leave your Bible between services. Take your Bible with you. Brother, if you would dismiss us in prayer.